on the extended three-hour program, Racing Pulse now hones in on the full Victorian race preview.
Yes, it's time to preview the big meeting at Wang today at 3 minutes past 11. We're going to have a chat to Greg Brown, the track manager, first, and then local Ben Brisbane's got six runners today, and he usually dominates up in that region. And then Warren Huntley's going to take us through his thoughts. We do have the first greyhound race at Shepparton at 19 past 11, and we'll take that as well. First to a track manager that Rick McIntosh described as one of the best in the business in Greg Brown. How are you, Greg?
Good, Matty. You?
Yeah, good. Rick McIntosh is a fan?
Yeah, you got to give him a few slabs here and there and he looks after you.
Yeah, no, it usually works. It's good currency. One thing he did mention was that you're happy to keep the rail in the one spot for as long as you possibly can, and he thought that was a lot of track managers talk about how you really need to move the rail around a bit to overall sort of protect the track. But Wang, perhaps, is one of those tracks that you can sort of hold it there for as long as you can?
Yeah, the only move I probably do, we don't race as much as the city guys, so we're a bit easier up here, but I only like to move the bend either 3 or 4 metres and leave the straight true. Big straight here, and they use most of it, so we're pretty right, you know what I mean?
All right, so how's the track today?
Yeah, good four. Let's put actually quite a bit of water on this week, 35 mil. A month ago, we couldn't get on it. It's come up a good four. I reckon it probably, the weather is, it's going to be 28. We may get an upgrade at some stage. I'm not too sure that every jockey got a different opinion. It rails in through and, yeah, it should be a good day.
All right. So, and it is going to be pretty warm up there today, is it?
Yeah, 28. 28 yesterday, 28 today. Up into 30s on the weekend, which is good.
Are you going to get upgraded to a good 3 today?
Oh, I hope so. Yeah. No, later in the day, it's a tricky one, Matt, because for all the really wet winter we've had, it's still pretty wet deep down. It's a tricky one to water this time of year because you don't want to really, really soften it with water, but we need to take the edge off it. So we've actually ran the aerovator around as well, which takes the jar out of the track. It should be good.
Sounds like it. Good on you, Greg. Oh, hang on. Thanks, mate. Last thing before I let you go. You, in the warmer months, last year you experimented with trialling afternoon training sessions for the horses to give trainers that option. What's going to happen? Is that underway again?
That was in winter last year.
Sorry.
We went to do it again, and the trainers come to us, and it was hard to keep to get a lot of the track riders back.
Right.
And especially with the girls, Hannah LeBlanc and Hannah Edgley now race riding. So we opened the track for an extra half an hour, an extra hour, a couple of three times a week or something like that in the morning. So we kept it open longer in the morning, and they got it all done.
Okay.
So we're just in discussions again with the trainers now. They want to get more time in the mornings, but we'll work through that with them. Whether it's on a hot day, we'll have to get out on the track. A hot day, if it's going to be 35, we might close at 9:30, and the other days we might try and keep it open until 10:35.
All right. Okay. Sounds like a bit of a hybrid compromise might be where we end up.
Yeah. We'll work something out. They're pretty good, the trainers here.
All right, good on you. Greg, thanks very much for that.
Thanks, Matt.
Greg Brown there. Well, Ben Brisbane is a local trainer, and we were just talking to Greg Brown, the trackman, about sort of options with training times and so on, and Ben joins us to go through his runners. How are you, Ben?
Yeah, good, thanks.
That's good, mate. What is the optimum for training times and so on, whether it be winter or summer and spring? Greg was telling us that it was just too hard technically to get the jockeys back with that afternoon experiment in the winter. What, if you were in an ideal world, what time would you like to be able to train your horses up there at Wang?
No, I think to be fair, the recipe you've got at the moment is working. They're keeping the track open longer for us in the mornings. On certain days, so our younger horses can go out when it's a bit quieter. But as long as everyone can get their horses worked with the staff that we've got, I think we're all pretty happy to meet halfway.
What what's your time frame per morning with your how many horses do you have in work, and how long from start to finish does it take to get it all done?
We've got about 50 in work, and we start up at 4, and we ride normally right up to the last till about around that 10 o'clock mark.
Would 5:30 to 11 be perfect?
It would in the winter, but again in the summer months, you don't mind starting that bit earlier to get out, keep out the heat.
Yep, absolutely. Well, it's going to be nice and warm today, and there's a warm tip around for Diesel in the first. What can you tell us? The trials have been excellent at Tatura and Benalla, and there's a real strong tip around for Diesel.
Yeah, he's a nice horse. He's really done nothing wrong. He's pretty faultless, to be honest. He's trained up beautifully for this. We have put blinkers on him for his first start just to try and keep him straight that last couple of hundred where he might be on his own and they just need a little bit of help. But we rate him as one of our better unraced horses, and we've really been looking forward to for him to get the races today.
You're going to be disappointed if he gets rolled?
I'll be disappointed if he doesn't win by, you know, 3 or 4 lengths, to be honest.
Oh. All right, hang on. Whoa, I'm just jumping on everyone's just jumping on their betting apps. All right, over to race.
No, but on a serious note, you know, we think he's a Metro class horse. He's had a really good grounding. He's ready to go today, and you'd like to see him, you know, put his hand up, get the job done. He's always going to improve, but, I think he's a really nice horse.
All right, we go to an ad break, Mikey. I've got to get organised here. All right, let's go on to race 3. Del Viento, can we... this is the number one saddlecloth wearer. Hannah is riding. What can we parlay our winnings from the first into race 3?
Look, it doesn't look to be a strong race in depth, but he's drawn a terrible gate. So we'll have to sort of ride him a little bit patient, stay in on the turn and hope that the leaders go too quick and they come back to him. His track work's been good, but he's going to need a bit of luck in a run.
All right, over to race 4, number 13, Miss Private. What can you tell us about Miss Private at her fourth start today? And Neil Farley takes the ride.
Yeah, I thought she was super last time at Seymour. Really tries hard. Is getting everything right now. Up slightly again in trip. And in that field, you'd expect us to run top 3 or 4.
All right. Quick Enough goes around in race 7.
Terrible barrier first up. Probably will need. We're more hopeful than confident just because of her race style, where she'll go back and run on. They need to go hard in front for her to have a chance to probably get past them, but. She has been working well, but you're probably looking at her third up or something like that over a mile.
All right, and Redneck Princess in race 8 and then Fake Magic in race 9.
Yeah, Redneck Princess I've been a little bit disappointed with. I haven't really found the right recipe for her this time in, but I thought I'd try her up in grade, down in weight, inside barrier, plenty of speed. She'll be able to tack on the back of them, and if they overdo it in front, maybe we can sprint over the top of them late.
Fantastic. Sorry, I was just putting a bet on. Did we get to Fake Magic in race 9?
Off everything he's done, he looks well placed.
I really mean this, Ben. Best of luck in the first race today.
Perfect. Thanks very much.
Good on you, mate. I wonder how many people have feverishly gone for their betting apps there. I certainly did, and it never works out when I do that. I hope Warren Huntley gives us a real kick along. How are you, Warren?
I'm very well, thanks, Matty.
Yeah, I just managed to pat my head and rub my tummy at the same time there by interviewing Ben and then having a ridiculously large bet on his runner in the first. I'll get your thoughts on that in a sec. What do you make of the meeting in general?
It's a competitive card, Matty. I think there's a little bit of value throughout the card, and such a lovely track, Wangaratta, and in that good range with a fair bit of irrigation having to be put on, you'd think it'd firm up during the course of the day, and that might mean that the horses on speed can give a sight, but in general, that track plays really fairly, and Yeah, I agree with what Rick McIntosh was saying with you earlier, that Greg Brown does a terrific job there. It's a big training centre now too, so it's a real racing community around the Wangaratta area, and the track's been a real workhorse for the industry and cope really well through a variety of conditions.
Absolutely. Can you answer this question? I'm assuming it is because we're playing catch-up with a lot of meetings that we've lost with the weather, but there are a lot of nine-race provincial meetings on at the moment. Is this a new thing, or is it just that we're playing a bit of catch-up and throwing a few more races on?
No, it's not a new thing. At acceptance time, and that was through Greg Carpenter's reign and now with Matty Welsh, Racing Victoria decide with the number of acceptances for races whether they can split a race. The first race today has been split. So three-year-old maiden upwards over the 1170 was divided at acceptance time. So there was eight races on the program and they just had enough acceptors for that race to divide it. Racing Victoria tend to keep an eye on where the pool of horses are and the race programs. Are there suitable races for these horses in the next couple of days? And if there was plenty of options and the pool of horses wasn't that great, then they might just, you know, allow some horses to be balloted. But fortunately, on this occasion, they divided the 1170 maiden, so we get two divisions of that. So primarily, it's through races being divided at acceptance time. But there are exceptions. There's an extra race that has been added to the program at Cranbourne next Friday. And again, that's Racing Victoria keeping an eye on the pool of horses in certain categories, distance ranges and ratings bands, and probably getting feedback from the ATA and connections. And there has been a race added to the Cranbourne meeting next Friday. So that'll be nine races at nomination time. But in general, there's eight. And it's just a question of how many acceptors they get, whether they divide a race.
All right. And for those going bonkers on the SMS machine about not getting race names and numbers for David Gately, if you'd like to get onto our social media provider, it's a little bit later on, all those names and numbers will be attached to his tips, so you can stop freaking out. All right, let's. I need your seal of approval here in the first, Warren. 1170-metre maiden. The scratchings here are numbers 3 and 6. The favourite, now trimming up a bit, is number 5, Diesel. Ben Brisbane says it won't just win, it'll win by panels. It's the favourite from Mr. Roquin, number 2 from the Ben and JD Hayes stable at $3.20. And then, well, it's pretty much out the gate, $7.50 for Rotokura, number 4. What have you made of Diesel's jump outs and trials?
Well, much better with the application of blinkers that he wears for the debut. Look, yeah, I thought it was a really even race and I could see the chance to Diesel, but when I was putting my top four together, he was just outside of that. I thought that number 8, Ad Milk, had no luck at all at her second day at the races. I could mount a case to say that she should have won that race. She's got the race experience. She maps for a decent run from that draw and her debut run was good. So I've got a leaning to 8, Ad Milk, that you can back on an each-way basis. Head of 1, Blixen, who we've seen in a couple of different stables. I thought the run last start, some of the better late closing sectionals of the day, racking home around the tight Tatura track, the more spacious run in here at Wangaratta, will suit. Through the same race as Ad Milk, comes through number 7, Overloaded, also had no luck there, was on debut. I don't think was quite as unlucky as Ad Milk, but that would be debatable. I think looks suited with the benefit of that run under the belt. And then Mr. Roquin's got the best form of horses that have been to the races through that run at Pakenham on the synthetic track on debut. He's got the winkers off here first up and he looks to have jumped out okay. I was struggling to split numbers 2 and 5 for my fourth selection. And look, Diesel's trialled up really well, Matty. He might jump and run and really give them something to chase with the application of blinkers. I just wanted to see under race day pressure. 8172.
And your selection there is $6.50 on the fixed odds, Ad Milk. I hope you're 100% right in 8 races today, Warren, and horribly wrong in one of them. All right, let's go over to race 2. This is an 1170-metre maiden, and we're going without numbers 10 and 11. $2.50 favourite is number 3, Striking Plains, for the Freedman Stable. $5.50 on the fixed odds is American Russ, number 1. $6 for Capistan, number 5. And $6.50 also for Brazen Delight. And in the middle of all those is Winning Aura, number 8, at $4.20.
Keen on number 3, Striking Plains here. The Anthony Sam Friedman Stable and Damien Thornton, when they combine at Wangaratta, they've got as good a strike rate as any trainer-jockey combination at that circuit. And seem to find the right races and the right horses to take to Wangaratta. Sources resuming as a gelding. I loved his recent jump out. He was strong through the line. He probably will want further getting deeper into this preparation. But, gee, I think he finds a suitable race to break through. Three ahead of five. Capistan, in typical Paddy Payne fashion, just been poking along at the jump outs, but like the way he moves through the line, the Will Gordon-Paddy Payne combination is also a pretty potent combination in terms of trainer and jockey. American Russ has had a few chances, but gee, I like the way he's jumped out to get back to the races here. He looks like he's come back in good order. An eight winning aura. It's the blinkers on following a reasonably encouraging debut. Keen on three, ahead of 5, 1 and 8.
3, 5, 1 and 8. They're a minute and a bit from the first at Shepherd and Warren, so we'll get through the third at Wang, I think, quite comfortably. The scratchings here are numbers 8 and 13. Fixed odds favourite is number 2, Foxpath, at $3.60. And then we go out to $4.60 for Shack Attack, number 9, and $5 for Crowning Moment from the Clayton Douglas stable.
On with one at a bit of odds here, just a small each way play on number 5, Command Success. Dwayne Reed does a good job with his small team. He's also jumped out really nicely. Looked sharp when asked to quicken after leading a jump out. So 5 each way for me. He had a 6, Crowning Moment, who gets the blinkers on, has got some good race fitness and race experience. 2, Foxpath, I reckon, was beaten by a smart horse from the Moody stable, who was well back at Tatura. Better for that first day at the races. Probably makes his own luck somewhere near the speed. And 9, Shack Attack. I thought it jumped out quite nicely for the Clinton McDonald stable. That barrier's probably a slight negative. Probably gets back, balances up and works home, but looks to go well from the jump outs. 5 each way, ahead of 6, 2 and 9.
5, 6, 2 and 9 in the third at Wang from Warren Huntley. Mikey, the first at Shepherd and Greyhounds, they're almost set.
Yep, no emergencies required, so a full field. Your favourite is Silly Mid-Off for the cricket fans at $2.60. Number 8, Bok Choi at $3.20. Number 1, Jerome at $4.40. Number 3, Impassion at $6. And number 2, Mini Minion at $9. And Matty Jones is calling all the action at Shepherd.
It's about set. Here we go. Very good morning and welcome to Shepherd, and they're set to go in the first and they're racing, and My Isabel shot out but immediately has been collared by Mini Minion, who's taken over and leads over Bok Choi, who's going up second as they work off the far side. Encrypted third, and then came Impassion. Further back is Silly Minoff, the favourite, a long way back with Lace Me Girl, My Isabel and Jerome in the straight here. Mini Minion and Bok Choi. Bok Choi looms up the outside and Bok Choi beats Mini Minion. Third is close, Impassioned or Encrypted, then came Lace Me Girl and Silly Minoff, and behind those end Jerome and My Isabel behind those as well. 22 and 19, and it's Bok Choi, the second fave, who takes the first on the card.
So number 8, Bok Choi at $4.40, $2.40. Number 2, Mini Minion at $1.80. And a photo for third, Matty.
Thanks, Mikey. Back to Warren, and we're down to, over to race 4. Warren, this is another maiden. This one's for the 3-year-old fillies over 1,400 metres. And the scratchings here are 1, 3, 6, 7, 9, 14 and 18. And we start at the top with Insurgents number 2 for Chris Weeding and Hannah Engley at $3.60. $4.40 for Listen to Morris number 4. $5.50 for Kingdom of Castile number 8. And then a couple down the bottom at about the same price, Rendezvous number 12 and 13 Miss Private at $9.50 and $8 respectively. $8.50 for number 17 Fields of Joy.
This race changed a bit with a number of key scratchings, but thought number 2, Insurgents, was going to be right in the mix regardless, consistent, probably racing without the best of luck at times. I'm with 2 ahead of 4. Listen to Morris, who's trialled up really nicely to resume for the Lindsay Park operation, and a few scratchings have probably made the task a little bit easier from that wider draw, but it's a reasonable run before you hit that sweeping bend at Wangaratta from the 1,400-metre start. 8, Kingdom of Castile, ran well on debut. I think the little rise in distance here is a positive. The full set of earmuffs go off, and just the pre-race earmuffs go on for the second day. The races, and 12, Rendezvous, I thought has jumped out nicely to make the debut at what looks a suitable trip. And again, scratchings have probably made the task a touch easier from that wider draw. 2, 4, 8, 12.
2, 4, 8, 12 in race 4. Race 5, another 3-year-old maiden, 1,590 metres. The scratchings here are numbers 4, 6, 15 and 17. $3.30 favourite is Raj Nish, number 8 for Nick Ryan. And then $5.50 for Lensman, number 3. Danaher, number 5, is at $6. $9 for number 10 at Lulu's Halo.
Thought it's a good race for Raj Nish. Number 8 looks just about ready to break through, and this trip looks suitable, so going to go with 8 ahead of 5, Danaher, who just got held up at a crucial stage, second up last start. Again, this distance range looks suitable, progressing through the preparation, and the Freedmans and Damien Thornton combining, we've referenced, it is a good trainer-jockey combination anywhere, but particularly here at Wangaratta. One that it wouldn't shock me at all at odds is number 13, Gives Me Chills, was restrained from a wide draw on debut, but actually worked through the line quite well. Totally different dynamic here from an inside draw with the benefit of that run under the belt. Could be a potential blowout. Number 13, Gives Me Chills, and one alluvial fitter for one run back from a spell. 8-5, 13-1.
8-5, 13-1 in race 5. Over to race 6. This is the first leg of the quaddie. It's a benchmark 64. The scratchings are 1, 5, and 6. $2.70 fixed odds favourite, 2 Ghost Doctor. Out to $3.80 for 8 Dexabil. $4.40 Come On Eileen, number 4. And that's about it for the single figures, Warren?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to take too shorter odds about Ghost Doctor, but he's been a terrific horse for Connections. He's an 8-year-old now, but he goes well. Ran his home track, 3 wins and 6 minor placings for his 17 attempts. And although he loves it on heavy ground, he's actually quite versatile and handles all type of track surfaces. Leaning to, again, I think this race changed a bit with scratchings, particularly with the scratching of number 5, Absailor. 2, for me, head of 4, Come On Eileen. She was very poor second up. Her first up win was terrific. So if she can bounce back to something like her best form, she can roll forward from that draw. Might be a disadvantage on a firming track and be hard to get past. 3, Choice Harvest, part of the Craig Weeding team that's got some good chances right throughout the day. Fit, consistent, arguably dropping in grade on that most recent run. And 7, Barbara Ann, actually was okay through the line last start. Fitter with that run under the belt. Didn't have a lot between numbers 7 and 8. Dexabil as my next selection. 2-4-3-7.
2-4-3-7. We're going to take a really quick break, Warren, and come back with the last three at Wang.
On RSN 927's Racing Pulse, the Victorian form preview.
We're down to the last three at Wang. Race 7, Warren, is a benchmark 58 over 1,300. The scratchings here are numbers 2, 16, 17 and 18. $2.70 fixed odds favourite is number 8, Savvy Sovereign. $5 for Zootalis for Ken Keys, number 9. And they're the main two in the market, actually.
I think they're two of the key winning hopes. I think Savvy Sovereign did enough first up, but did a bit of work, got across on speed and battled on pretty well. I'd expect a similar scenario here, and I think he's the one to beat. 9, Zootalis has jumped out nicely enough to resume without the blinkers on, has them on here first up. Should expect some improvement with the application of that gear from what we've seen at the jump out. The jump out itself was quite encouraging. 3, Onslaught will be up there riding the speed with the claim and not have to do a lot of work to get there from an inside draw. 10, Alfoil, another one who'll be there on the speed. Fitter for a couple of runs back. Wasn't that far away from the last start. 8-9-3-10.
8-9-3-10. And Rick McIntosh was a little bit keen on the 4. For those who like to follow Rick, it might be worth putting Clifton Hill in the quaddie. Okay, the 8th race, scratch 6 and 7. Luna Hero, number 1, is the $3 fixed odds favourite. Jocelyn, number 3, is $3.70. Just out to $4.20, Kahuka, number 4. And Super Thief at $4.60, number 5.
Good race with a little bit of speed. And I'm tipping one of the on-speed horses in Luna Hero. He's such a good, consistent, big, strong galloper. And, yeah, I thought he'd be on speed with the blinkers on and be hard to get past. The one that's on the fresh side probably tucks in behind what looks like that speed's number 3, Josie Lynn. I'd expect her to be stalking that speed and chiming in late. Kahuka, number 4, also gets the blinkers on. Had excuses the way the race shaped up last start. Probably just gets onto the back of Luna Hero here. And 8, Pretty Panda. She's trialled up nicely to resume here. She'll also be part of the speed, get down in the weights. 1-3-4-8.
1-3-4-8, race 8. Race 9 is 1170-metre benchmark 58. And we're going without numbers 3, 9, 16, 17 and 18. $2.70 fixed odds favourite is number 2, Fake Magic. My Girl Gladys, number 1, is $4.20. $6 for Sizzling Sonata, number 4. $9.50 for Zacharak, number 7. And $9 for Luna Sola, number 15.
Even finish, Maddie. I'm going to go with 4, Sizzling Sonata, who will be that little bit off speed, but looks to have trialled up okay to resume here and suited with the spacious track late. 4 for me, ahead of 2, Fake Magic, who maps to get a nice run, gets that little claim for Hannah Edgley. 7, Zacharak gets the blinkers on, nice jump out between runs. And one, My Girl Gladys. She's got a little bit against her from that wide draw with plenty of weight, but from the state's leading stable, they're happy to run here. Don't want to be going out of the quaddie if My Girl Gladys wins. 4-2-7-1.
4-2-7-1. Speaking of the quaddie, what are you thinking here?
I'm thinking the best is race 2, number 3, Striking Plains, Maddie, and value in the first for me, number 1, Add Milk. Taking 4 in the first leg of the quaddie, 2, 4, 3 and 7. Numbers 8, 9 and 3 in the second leg. 1, 3, 4 and 8 in the third, coming home with numbers 4, 2, 7 and 1. The running double in races 1 and 2 was my player today. I better extend it to include Diesel in that first leg of the running double. I don't want to go out when Matt Wentfarlap appears the first at Wangaratta. So 8, 1, 7, 2 in the first leg, including Diesel, the first starter, into numbers 3 and 5, hopefully getting a split in the running double in races 1 and 2 as the player of the day.
I hope it is, Farlap. Good on you, Warren.
Thanks, Benny.
Thanks for that. And well done, by the way, with your Burt Wolf gong the other day at the VRMA lunch. Well deserved. So well done for that.
Yeah, thanks, Matty. My first thought was a call for a swabbing of the people that made that award, but much appreciated, but most unexpected.